From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Thousands filled the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church today near Atlanta to say farewell to civil rights matriarch Coretta Scott King. Among those who came and stood in line 4 hours to be part of the service was 57-year-old Eddie Garrett from Decatur, Georgia.
History. I want to be a part of this history. And the King family, you know, they've done so much for us and the entire world. So I just wanted to be a part of it. I had to be a part of it.
President Bush, the First Lady, three former presidents, more than a dozen U.S. senators, and many civil rights leaders attended a homegoing celebration in honor of Mrs. King. From Atlanta, NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
It was an emotional tribute to the woman that her family and friends describe as courageous, committed, and passionate. The four children, Yolanda, Martin III, Dexter, and Bernice, heard hours of tributes to their mother. President George Bush acknowledged the suffering Mrs. King endured, seeing her husband assassinated in 1968, but determined to carry on his legacy.
In that calling, Dr. King's family was subjected to vicious words, threatening calls in the night and a bombing at their house. Coretta had every right to count the cost and step back from the struggle. But she decided that her children needed more than a safe home. They needed an America that upheld their equality and wrote their rights into law.
A number of civil rights activists spoke out. Dr. Joseph Lowry co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with Mrs. King's husband. Lowry gave perhaps the most politically pointed tribute of the day and brought the crowd to its feet.
She extended Martin's message against poverty, racism, and war. She deplored the terror inflicted by our smart bums on missions way afar. We know now there were no weapons of mass destruction over there. But Coretta knew, and we know, that there are weapons of misdirection right down here. Millions without health insurance. Poverty abounds. For war, billions more, but no more for the poor.
Three former presidents came to celebrate Coretta Scott King's life. Jimmy Carter talked about how difficult life was for the Kings as their civil rights were violated and they became the target of secret government wiretaps, another criticism of the White House. But George H. Bush jokingly defended his son and got a laugh from the crowd.
I would like to say something to my friend Joe Lowry. Hey, look. They used to send this guy to Washington, and I kept score in the Oval Office desk. Lowry 21, Bush 3. It wasn't a fair fight.
Bill Clinton and his wife, Senator Hillary Clinton, were greeted by thunderous applause. Mr. Clinton told the thousands gathered at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church to remember that Mrs. King was not only a symbol, but a real woman who lived her life and had disappointments. But he said those disappointments did not prevent this woman from living life to the fullest. Then former President Clinton posed the question of how Coretta Scott King's legacy would be carried on.
What are we going to do? This is the first day of the rest of our lives. And we haven't finished our long journey home. The one thing I always admired about Dr. King and about Coretta when I got to know her especially is how they embraced causes that were almost surely lost right alongside causes that they knew if they worked at hard enough, they could actually win. They understood that the difficulty of success does not relieve one of the obligation to try. So all of us have to remember that. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives?
During the service, there were several musical tributes to honor Mrs. King, herself a musician. She was a noted singer who graduated from the New England Conservatory of Music and held freedom concerts to benefit the fledgling civil rights movement.
So busy serving my master. master. Keep so busy serving my master. Keep so busy serving my master. Ain't got time to die. 'Cause when I'm giving my all,
Dr. Dorothy Height, chairman of the Council of Negro Women, said she met King 55 years ago at a Freedom Concert in New York.
Coretta Scott King was a beautiful woman, a gentle woman, but she also was a woman who taught us a lot about how to live. Because with all of her experiences, she said she would not live a life dominated by fear. She never let her life be dominated by fear.
Friends of Mrs. King had their chance to say goodbye. Poet Maya Angelou talked about late-night phone conversations and told of a special bond the two had because her birthday marks the day Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. But Angelou said Coretta called her and the world to action.
I will never cease. I mean to say, I want to see a better world. I mean to say, I want to see some peace somewhere. I mean to say, I want to see some honesty, some fair play. I want to see kindness and justice. This is what I want to see, and I want to see it through my eyes and through your eyes, Coretta Scott King. I open my mouth to the Lord, and I won't turn back, no. I will go. I shall go. I'll see what the end is going to be. Thank you.
Several family members honored King, who died a week ago. King's sister-in-law, Christine King Ferris, said this was a challenging moment, that it was not easy to say goodbye.
She began as my brother's wife, the woman who captured his heart and partnered with him on the journey toward freedom. And yet years of sharing and trials, triumphs, mountains and valleys, joys and sorrows, and everything in between made Coretta as close to me as any blood sister could be.
His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching over me.
Stevie Wonder sang a musical tribute of his own to document his farewell to Coretta Scott King. It was civil rights pioneer, friend, and former Atlanta mayor Andrew Young who introduced King's youngest daughter, Bernice. Young remembered Bernice as just a child.
I used to watch her daddy throw in the air. And then, too soon, I saw her sitting by the side of her mother in that great photograph by Manita Sleet with one tear.
Then Bernice King took the pulpit to describe her mother.
I'm just here to celebrate, so let everything right now that have breath praise ye the Lord for the life of Coretta Scott King, a stalwart, a beacon of hope, a king in her own right, a woman of authority, a woman of power, a woman of grace, a woman of essence, a woman of strength, a woman of dignity. We praise the Lord for Coretta Scott King and her example of life.
Bernice King told mourners it is not an accident that this service was held at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Bernice King said her mother died from complications of ovarian cancer. She said society is lacking in its conviction to make the world a better place.
See, what God is saying to us today through the transition of Coretta Scott King is that we here in this world right now are suffering from complications of cancer, from materialism and greed and selfishness and arrogance and elitism and poverty and racism and perversion and obscenity and misogyny and idolatry and violence and militarism.
Bernice King said her mother never wavered from seeking peace and justice.
We've got to cease from our divisions. We've got to cease from our politicking. We've got to cease from the exploitation and the insecurities.
King's youngest daughter said that God worked through her mother for a greater purpose, even to the end.
And the reason that she couldn't pass in Atlanta, Georgia, and why God had to fly her over to the West Coast from the East Coast and drop her over the line, is because she was not just a national figure. She was a global leader.
After the six-hour service, Coretta Scott King's body was laid to rest near her husband's tomb at the King Center that she established to honor him. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta. Our coverage of Coretta Scott King's life continues online. You can hear her reflect on the civil rights struggle and her marriage, and also follow her life in pictures at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.